Hey, my name is Lauren Frieder, and my husband Drew and I are lead pastors at Lift Church. We are on the eastern shore of Maryland. We want to thank you so much for joining us today, and we are believing that you will get a lift of encouragement.
Hey, welcome to week 3 of Altars, which is a series all about diving deeper in prayer. If you've been joining us, then we're going to pick up where we left off. And if you have not been joining us, no worries. We're going to catch you up to speed. We're just so glad you're here with us at Lift Church Online. And so diving deeper into the mystery of prayer, every person alive wants to know and meet with God. And so we've been looking at an Old Testament model of prayer because the Bible says about the tabernacle, that would be what we would call the church nowadays. The tabernacle was where people met with God. And it was there that God's presence dwelled and people met with him. And that's what we're looking at to learn another form of prayer. It's not the only way to pray, but it can enhance your prayer life if you haven't learned to pray this way. Just change it up a little bit. But you can pray long prayers. You can pray short prayers. You can pray a little here and a little there. You can pray skinny prayers and you can pray fat prayers. Gotcha. I just want to make sure you're listening. This is not the only way, but it is a way. And so we've been looking at the different elements of the tabernacle and how people would meet with God and how we can use those elements to enhance our prayer life and understanding of God. And you know me, I love to draw and to illustrate so that everyone's on the same page. So let me show you what the tabernacle would look like. All right. So this is what would be called the tabernacle. This is the tabernacle. It would be covered by a heavy curtain and would be about half of a football field in size. And then outer would be an outer perimeter or a gate delineating the world from entering into God's presence. And so the most holy place is where God's presence was. And we're looking at this model as an example of how to get out here from the world and all of the weights and concerns of this place into eventually getting into the holy place where we get to hear and have the sounds of life quiet down and we can hear the voice of God and his direction. In order to do that, we talked on Easter about the first thing you would cross would be the brazen altar. This would be where animal sacrifices for our sins would happen. And then the next thing we would pass in the outer court would be the laver or wash basin. And it is here that we would wash ourselves, our body, of any sins and stains. And we would continue to try to walk in holiness as we enter God's holy place. So now this week, when you enter the holy place, there would be a candlestick, there would be a table of showbread, and then there would also be an altar of incense. And so these three elements we're going to focus on now. Specifically today, we're going to look at the candlestick and what it means in our prayer lives.
Something we talked about on Easter is how unappealing the outer court would have been. It would have been desert hot sun. It would have been blazing heat because of the burning fire. The sand would have been full of like 3-inch deep blood-soaked sand. It would have just been an ugly environment. In fact, from the outside of the tabernacle, it would totally have been unappealing, nothing majestic about it. But oh, how different it was the closer you got to God's presence. When you walked into the holy place, you would have seen such an amazing look, and it would all be illuminated by the candlestick and what was there. Let's go inside and see what this candlestick teaches us. See, once you move inside, you're moving closer to God, and it feels more like heaven. Come on. That's what it can be like in prayer. In fact, from the outside, it's such a different feeling on the inside. It was loud outside, and now inside, we're getting closer and closer to the peace we're looking for and being able to hear God's voice even more clearly. I love what J. Denham Smith says about the inside of the tabernacle. He says, "The scene is wonderful, affording a sweet change from the tumultuous cries of the dying sacrifices we saw outside, for here, every object is a symbol of some glory of Christ." For on the inside, the outside was ugly, but on the inside, so much attention is spent with every little detail. On the inside, it's made up of gold and silver and brass. There's dyed scarlet, blue, and purple cloth everywhere. There's no detail left unturned. There's goat skin, and there's badger skin in different places. The cloths that the priests would wear would be ornate with jewels of jasper and onyx and sapphire. Every detail would be gold, gold, gold everywhere. Such attention and detail was laid when we drew near to God. It was like entering the best case of heaven on earth. And do you know that's what walking into our prayer tents, our prayer closets can feel like? It can feel like drawing near to God. I love what Psalm 73 verse 28 says. It says, "As for me, it is good to be near to God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. He's like my safe haven." Psalm 18 verse 2 says, "The Lord is my rock. He's my fortress and my deliverer, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He's my stronghold." And Psalm 91 verse 2 says, "He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him." This is what drawing near to God in our prayer closets is like. It's like heaven on earth. And so week three of altars is looking at the candlestick. Come on, pray with me real quick. God, I pray that you would speak to us from the place of the candlestick. Reveal your goodness in our lives and teach us more about prayer through your tabernacle. In Jesus' name, amen. Colonel Mustard in the conservatory with the candlestick. Come on, the candlestick is not something we talk about very often. In fact, it's quite a passive element that's not very prominent in our discussions. I can't remember the last candlestick I've complimented, can you? But as I started studying the candlestick, I started paying attention. My wife's got a few nice ones around the house. I mean, look at this one. This one is fancy. Come on. You know, even though the candlestick is often a passive element, like I normally would walk in the house and just pass this right up. Now, some of you ladies might notice it, but us guys, we might not pay attention to it. And as you enter the inner place, the holy place, you might just walk past it and not think about the light that it's giving. But this prayer place has a prominent, powerful punch. That's too many P's. Let me say that more clearly. Listen, don't pass up the candlestick. It is a place of just powerful revelation. And so we look a little bit closer at the candlestick. There's three prayer points that I would pray at this candle place. But let's look at Revelation 4, verse 5. It describes it in heaven, the candlestick in heaven. It says, "In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God." I say it like this, that the candlestick is a prayer place where we can meet with the Holy Spirit. Here's three ways to connect with the Holy Spirit in prayer. So the first prayer we can pray at the candle place is a prayer of wisdom. I love this prayer because when I think about the candlestick, this glorious view that's behind me, or it would have been so much better than even what you're seeing because there's no gold in here. I want to know where the gold's at. Come on. But if there was gold in here, we don't see any of those fine details without the candlestick. See, the candlestick is a source of light and it illuminates the goodness that's all around. And the jewels and the gold aren't nearly so majestic in the dark. And just as all the gold and jewels are in our lives, we don't see them sometimes. You know, scripture says that you and I are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. But sometimes all we see is the darkness in us. We see the negative in us. But oh, how we can come to the candlestick and pray that God would illuminate, that God would brighten up with wisdom what God sees. See, we need to pray the shine, Lord, shine, so we can see the goodness in ourselves and then so that we can be a light when we go out to the world all around us. Jesus told us, "You are a light to this world."
Go out and shine. Well, it's hard to shine when we can't even see the goodness in us. So we stop at the candlestick and we just begin to pray, God, illuminate what you see in me because I have trouble seeing it in myself. And so we ask God to illuminate the wisdom in us. Ever felt short-handed, like you're just getting the runaround and you just need truth like this?
First, you must not leave the house for any reason. Unless, of course, you have a reason, and then you may leave the house. All stores are closed except those that are open. And all stores must close unless, of course, they need to stay open. This virus is deadly, but don't be afraid of it. It can only kill people who are vulnerable and also those who are not vulnerable. We should stay locked down until the virus stops infecting people. And it will only stop infecting people if enough of us get infected that we build immunity. So it is very important that we get infected and also do not get infected. You should not go to the doctor's office or the hospital unless you have to go there. Unless, of course, you are too sick to go there. This virus has no effect on children except for those children in which it affects. The virus remains active on different surfaces for 2 hours or 4 hours or 6 hours, but in most cases it's days and not hours, and it needs a damp environment or a cold environment that is warm and dry in the air, unless the air is plastic.
How do we cut through the crap and get to the point of what's really truth and what's right? Well, guess what? In prayer, we get to hear the illuminating voice of what is true and what is right. Listen to Isaiah 11:2, speaking of the Spirit given to Jesus. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." These are the spirits that rested on Jesus. And Jesus said when he went away, "I now give you my Spirit." And so when we pray at the candlestick, we're praying for this kind of wisdom and this knowledge. Oh, the richness that is in the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:8 says, "You used to be people living in the dark, but now you are people living in the light." And so, you know, it reminds me a little bit of National Treasure. You ever seen that movie before? It's a few years old, but I love the scene of when they finally find the treasure. And good old Nicolas Cage, he finds that treasure and he lights it up. And this is the part I love. They couldn't see the immense gold that was in front of them. There was incredible treasure in the room, but they needed the light to light up and illuminate some dark truths that were in the room. It's not that the gold wasn't there. It's just that there was no light to illuminate it. But when they saw it, oh, the majesty of the room. Oh, how good it is to see what was already there. Do you know that in our lives, sometimes the treasure is already there. And so we step up to the candlestick and we say, "God, I'm not seeing what you're seeing in me." Sometimes we step up to the candlestick on behalf of a family member. "I'm not seeing it what you see in my spouse, and so I need to pray prayers of illumination that you would shine the truth of the goodness that's in the room already, in our boss, in our children, in our city, in our environment." Sometimes we just don't see it that way, right? We feel like we're in the dark, and that's why I love the prayer at the candlestick. In fact, write this down. Prayer at the sconce brings an insightful response. Come on, one of these candles we have hanging on a sconce in our house. And whenever you pray at the sconce, you get an insightful response. It's so much better to hear the truths of God in prayer than it is to hear the lies of the devil as we walk around. And so I love what Mark Batterson says in The Circle Maker. He says, "We pray out of ignorance, but God's answer comes to us out of omniscience." Right? And so he says, we pray out of impotence, but God's answer is out of omnipotence. See, our understanding is so weak, and so we approach the candlestick for illumination and for wisdom. Without light, there's darkness. Come on, we don't see people the same way. So we pray for God to remind us of his heart to see it how he sees it. I love what one of our dream teamers and small group leaders, Matt Melkarik, he's texted me this week, and it was so on point. What 1 Kings 3:9 says, King Solomon prayed this. I encourage you to pray this too at the candlestick. Pray, give me an understanding mind so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern the great people of yours? See, at the candlestick, we pray for illumination to govern and our kids, to govern and lead well with our spouses and our jobs so that we have a wisdom that the world doesn't have. The second prayer point we have at the candle place is we can begin to pray prayers of healing at this point. You know, candles relied on the oil to keep burning, and it was the priest's job to keep those candles burning all the time. And our world needs a flow of healing. See, sickness and disease was let in by Adam and Eve through sin. And the Bible says that Jesus, by his stripes, we can be healed. And so it's through prayer and intercession at this place of the candlestick that we think about healing prayers. And we begin to pray for God to move in our lives. Listen, we need it now more than ever during this corona season. But corona is not the only thing we need healing from, you know? That doesn't mean other diseases have stopped. They haven't politely said, I'll hold off because a greater disease has come. No, we still have diseases and sicknesses that we need to pray. Even mental health healings that we need to see. And so we pray at the candlestick for the oil to come. We need to rely on the oil like the candle does to see God's movement in our lives. And so we pray to the Spirit of God. I like what Mark 6:13 says, that Jesus sent out his disciples, people like you and I, and he sent them out into the world to drive out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and saw them get healed. That's what we need to pray at the candlestick, to use the oil that is keeping the light burning to pray, God, just like you healed others, heal my friends, my family members. You know, one of our overseers, you met him if you were at our church about a year ago, Pastor Scott Bledsoe is one of our overseers and a pastor to me. His grandson is only 6 weeks old, and his name was Brooks. And about a week ago, they got terrible news that he had a viral infection as a six-week-old. And it wasn't COVID-related, but it was a viral infection that put them in the children's hospital this whole week. And we started praying prayers of healing and victory. Man, did we get on our knees in prayer and ask God at the candlestick to heal Brooks for a miracle. And guess what? God's been doing the miracle all week long. It went from grim news.
Hi.
To better news, to the best news yet. Now, God's not done healing them, but we have seen God do an amazing work as people got in the prayer place of healing at the candlestick. Listen, press in, anoint your friends in prayer, intercede for them, press in for your family members. Don't settle for a disease that is going to be lifelong. We pray it over them. Sometimes we pray breakthrough, and sometimes we pray just to get through seasons of not seeing the healing we want. But guess what? The prayer point at the candlestick, even if the healing doesn't come, I continue to keep this prayer lit day after day, over and over, because praying at the candlestick helps me pray through seasons when I'm believing for greater healing. Come on, we wish some of it would happen immediately like Brooks. Some of them, they don't happen all the time, but that doesn't mean God isn't changing us at the candlestick place of prayer. Pray for healing. Don't stop praying for healing and believe. And the final prayer point that we can have at the candlestick is what the other two were really about, and that is the presence of the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit feeding into my life. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is what was the overcoming spirit Jesus carried around to help him overcome the world. And so we pray at the candlestick for just the fulfilling of the Holy Spirit in our own lives. You know, what I love about the Holy Spirit is Scripture tells us in Romans 8:26 that the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us
through wordless groans in accordance with the Word of God. You know, have you ever felt like, God, I don't have a very powerful prayer life. I don't really know what to pray. I've run out of words. My mind can't even put together the best words to pray for people. I know in times of praying for people's healing or breakthrough, I almost feel like my English language is limited. But the Bible says that God will pray through us in wordless groans. And I am talking about tongues, which is a language that confuses a lot of people and a lot of people push back on. And listen, you don't have to pray in tongues to be saved. You don't have to pray in tongues to go to heaven. But I do believe it's a gift that God wants to give so many of us. And so if you've never prayed in tongues before, I would encourage you, why not ask God? If that's a gift you want to give me, then give it to me. You know, for me, I do pray in tongues a lot. And one of the reasons I like it is because sometimes my mind can be full of doubt or it could be faithless. And so sometimes my mind gets in the way of believing the impossible truths that God has for us. And so sometimes I need to bypass my mind. I like to say it like this. Imagine you had a boss of your company, but you had an intermediate boss in between. Now this boss up here is good and right and would love to hear from you, but this boss in between is negative. It's a dream killer. Just constantly a damper on your spirit. Now imagine if you had an idea and you wanted to bring it to the boss or a thought, but it gets killed all the time right here. Sometimes this intermediary boss is our own brains. It's going, you failed too many times to ask for that. You don't have enough faith for that. This is impossible. But oh, if we could bypass our brains and just pray what we want to pray, that's what praying in tongues for me is. My brain doesn't even know how to interpret it. Guess what? The enemy doesn't even know how to interpret it. So my mind can't get in the way. My lack of faith can't get in the way. And my feelings can't get in the way. I've bypassed them to just give my body over to the Spirit of God, which, by the way, should be the highest precedence in our life. We have a spirit, a soul in our body, and it's time to tell our soul, guess what? You can't govern my prayers. I'm going to pray in the Holy Spirit. If you've never done that before, it's not some mystical thing. You can just ask God, God, would you use me, fill me up with your Holy Spirit so that I can pray what my heart wants to pray. And guess what? When that Spirit prays in us, though I might not know what I'm praying, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is ever present to intercede for us. He knows the heart of God and he knows the heart of me. And so I give him my tongue to pray the most perfect prayer, especially when I've run out of the right words to pray. And so, listen, if you're like, that's too much for me, that's okay. You don't have to go there yet, but I do want to tell you, the Holy Spirit's not a scary person. He is the person of the candlestick. As we draw close, we're drawing close and we're praying for prayers of illumination, for healing, and for just even more of the Holy Spirit in our lives, period. And so can we do that right now? Can we just stop and pray? Would you join me in prayer and just bow your head and just enter into prayer. God, we come out of the world and we enter into the holy place right now. We come to the candlestick. God, out in the world, we pass the brazen altar. And so we do that right now. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the blood that was spilled on the cross so that my sins could be atoned for. And then, Father, we walk up to the laver next and we wash of our daily sins. We wash of our filthiness from the world, of the things that have just gotten us messed up and dirty. Father, we pray over our prayers of commission, our prayers of context and company. And now, Father, we enter into the holy place and we draw close to the candlestick. God, we pray for your Holy Spirit to illuminate our mind. I pray over every single mind right now that, Father, you would speak your truth and you would cast off the lies. God, there is gold inside of this room. God, there's gold inside of our minds and our bodies. But right now, sometimes it's in darkness. darkness. Father, I pray the ignition of fire on the candlestick to illuminate the goodness inside of us. You created good things, for you knit us together in our mother's womb, and what you did, you made very well. And so, Father, show us the workmanship you've created inside of us. Bring healing to the people who are suffering from the COVID coronavirus right now. We pray breakthrough. We pray the oil over them right now. Our family members, our loved ones, our friends, God, right now, break it over America and over this world. We believe at the candlestick for a breakthrough of healing in Jesus' name. And Father, fill us with more and more of your Holy Spirit, that we would hear the voice of God and we would draw ever closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And see, listen, if you've been with us, and you say, Pastor Drew, I'm not that close to God. In fact, I don't know if I'm right with God. Scripture says that you can be right with God right now. You don't have to live in doubt. You can ask through repentance. God says that he can forgive you of your sins. And so you can just pray a simple prayer like this. Pray this and repeat after me silently, or if you're by yourself, pray it out loud and say, Jesus, I have fallen short and I have sinned. But I ask you, by the blood that was shed for me on the cross, that you would cover me, wash me new, make me a new person. You be the Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. I am so proud of you for praying that prayer. If that's the first time you prayed it, or if you've prayed it for the first time in a long time and you're giving your life back to Jesus, listen, we want to connect with you. We want to hear about that decision you made. You just made the best decision. And so get out your phones and text us. Text 94,000, text to that number, the word lift decision. It's one word, lift decision, and text it to the number 94000. We want to connect with you and help you take the next steps in your faith walk with Jesus. You just made the best decision.